chapter 7, verse 1 is where I'd like to start off here in this class. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, it says, "Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." God is speaking through Paul here to the Corinthians, and he tells them that they needed to perfect holiness out of reverence for God. And in this class today, we want to consider God speaks on holiness of life. Now, I want to ask the question, what does the word holiness mean? Well, let me give you a couple definitions. It means moral purity. It means the state of being holy. So, better know what holy means. Holy means set apart for God, as it were, exclusively His. Sometimes when I'm looking up a word, that's the Greek definition, I'll go just to a regular dictionary. And so I went to a dictionary, and here's what it said for holy. It says, dedicated to God or a religious purpose, morally and spiritually excellent. Now that is a pretty good definition for just a secular dictionary. Morally and spiritually excellent. Do we live in a world today that is not morally and spiritually excellent? That is unholy? I'd like to read you a few things. At the end of 2007, California's Pacific Justice Institute has identified some of the worst instances of hostility toward faith, family, and freedom. The Red Cross refused donations of Bibles to California fire victims in 2007. California Assemblywoman Sally Lieber, with no children of her own, introduced legislation to ban spanking. She says she got the idea from a law professor at the University of San Francisco who pointed to European bans on spanking. And I was talking to one of our new Christians there in Oshkosh, and he said that they're trying to get this passed all over the United States, patterning it after the Europeans. More than 100 students were suspended in the Sacramento area schools for wearing T-shirts that quoted a Bible verse. Public high schools in California have cross-dressing day as part of the school spirit week. Schools attempt to censor God out of a private yearbook ad. One set of parents wanted to wish their son well upon his graduation. They submitted an ad that included the phrase, "May God bless your life." They weren't able to put that in there. We have federal hate crime bill, H.R. 1592, which could criminalize speech by clergy. In a mischievous attempt to have it signed into law, the bill was later inserted into a massive unrelated defense appropriations bill. That did pass the House since then. That did pass the Senate. Thankfully, we have a president, although he's been much maligned, that did veto that. And he did veto when they stuck it in the defense bill, too. What's going to happen, though, when that passes, if we have a Democrat president and a Democrat Congress? It would make it a crime to speak against homosexuality. It would be illegal. Do we live in an unholy world? We do. You know, this verse here says that we are to be trying to and striving to perfect holiness out of reverence for God. What does it mean to perfect something? Make it exactly right, correct? Totally complete. How many of you ever try to perfect something that you do? My wife, she tries to perfect chocolate chip cookies. I love cookies. She's always trying to make the perfect cookie. I keep telling her, oh, that's not right. I need another one. That's not good enough. That's too soft. Oh, that's too hard. So she keeps making them. So it's working so far. I shouldn't have told her my secret. But, you know, we try to perfect things in life. And holiness is something we are to be trying to perfect. We're to be trying to get closer and closer to God and God's standards of morality. We're to be excelling in morality. That's what it means to be holy. Now, how many of you are striving to live a holy life? Raise your hand. All right, I don't think you'd probably be up at this camp if you weren't trying to. And that's great that you're trying to live a holy life. And so I want to encourage you to keep doing that. We're going to take a look at some questions about holiness of life here in this class to try to help us grow in our holiness. But I want to establish, first of all, where does God speak about holiness? And due to time, I just want to give you some verses and you can go back and look them up. Throughout the Old Testament, we have God speaking on holiness. Exodus 15:11, Leviticus 11:45, Psalms 99:9, Isaiah 35:8. And in the New Testament, lots of verses. Hebrews 7:26, Ephesians 1:3-4, Colossians 3:12, 1 Thessalonians 3:13, 2 Timothy 1:8-9. I'm going to read this one, 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. You know, when we are holy, are we useful to God? When we're unholy, are we useful for God? We're not. That's why we're to get converted. That's why we're to stay converted, so that we can be of use to God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Hebrews 3, verse 1. I'm going to read this one too. Hebrews 13:12. It says, "And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood." Jesus died on the cross so that we could be holy, not unholy. He wants us to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, it says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" So the second question we want to consider here today, why should we be holy? Well, look at 2 Corinthians 7:1 again. If you left there, turn back there for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "Since we have these promises, dear friends..." Then he goes on and says, "Let us purify ourselves and perfect holiness." So, why should we be holy? He says, since we have these promises. Well, what are those promises? Well, you go back to chapter 6, starting in about verse 14. He's telling us to come out from them, be separate. But you read on down through there, and in verse 16 he says, "I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." That's a promise, isn't it? He will live with us. He will walk among us. He will be our God, and we can be His people. And then he goes on to say in verse 18, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." That's another promise. Is it great to have that promise, that we can be sons and daughters of God? You bet it is. So since we have that promise, and a multitude of other promises, like the Holy Spirit, we're promised. We're promised forgiveness of our sins. We're promised God hearing and answering our prayers according to His will, like Harold preached on last night. We're promised strength and help to overcome the devil in our Christian walk. And we're ultimately promised heaven. And we're promised all kinds of other wonderful, wonderful blessings. So since we have these promises, we need to perfect holiness. Another reason we should be holy is found right here in the last part of this verse. He says we need to perfect holiness out of what? Reverence for who? For God. Because we revere God and we esteem God, we perfect holiness. We need to perfect holiness and we need to be holy because it's commanded all throughout Scripture. And I gave you several verses. I'd like to read another one. 1 Thessalonians 4:7-8, it says, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." Then in verse 8 he says, "Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you His Holy Spirit." So if you want to get caught up in this society we live in the religious world that we live in that wants to just do away with holiness, you can. But you know who you're rejecting? You might think you're just rejecting the old fuddy-duddy preacher that's up there. You might think that you're just rejecting the old dead-headed Christians. That's how you look at them, because they're stuck in the mud. You might think that. But you know who you're really rejecting? You're rejecting God. Another reason why we should be holy, we are to be a holy church, aren't we? Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." So the church is to be what? Holy and blameless, it says there. If you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." We are to be a holy nation, a holy church that's not afraid to declare that. You know, it's kind of funny. We, a lot of us, especially probably us guys more than you ladies, we'll get to following a football team. And we become fans of a football team so much so that we've got guys here today like Paul who is wearing his USC shirt. And, yeah. We've got Galen back there that about every day I've seen him have at least one shirt on during the day that has OU on it somewhere. And why do they do that? I don't think it's wrong, by the way. I think it's great. They have a team they're cheering for. They're proud that they're a fan of that team. Now, I am wearing red, and there's some white in there. And but I don't have a N on my shirt up here today. But you know, people will follow a team, and they will be proud to holler, to scream, to dress, wearing the colors, to do all kinds of obnoxious things for a team. Especially if it's OU. Yeah. Yep. I'll make sure I'm listening, okay, Gannon? But you see, why don't we as Christians be proud that we're holy? And not be ashamed that we're holy. And dress right. And live right. And act right. And not go cowering around like, "Oh, I'm a Christian." Stand up. Be proud. "I'm a Christian. I'm part of a holy nation. I don't apologize for that. I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to do what's right. Because I'm a fan. And I'm part of the team." We are to be a holy church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, "As you come to Him, the living stone rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are being built into this spiritual house where we are a holy priesthood. So, we want to ask ourselves another question. How can we be holy? How can we do this? How can we excel in this? How can we perfect holiness? I think it starts with us thinking about the end. And Dad preached a great sermon on this, but I want you just to ask yourself a simple question. Probably a good question to ask yourself every day when you wake up. Where do you want to be? Pretty simple, but where do you want to be in the end? Heaven or hell? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." If you're not holy, can you make it to heaven? So ask yourself, do I honestly want to make it to heaven? I'm going to have to live holy then. I'm going to have to be holy. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 10, says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. You know, as we're looking forward to God coming back again, if we're still alive, how are we to be living? Holy and godly lives. We are to be making every effort to be holy. That's another way that we can be holy. Make every effort. Hebrews 12:14 says that, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. I want to just mention the effort needs to be in our own lives. It starts there. Sometimes after we've been Christians for a while, we tend to think that we're holy enough. I don't know anybody here, and it's nothing against anybody because I look up to a lot of you. I don't know anybody here that's like Jesus in every way. So, do you have work to do in holiness? Yeah, so who do you need to be working on? On me. Because you know when you stand before God, who are you going to answer for? Me. So you better get busy at working on me. And instead of worrying about everybody else and checking up to see if they're holy enough and if they're doing this and if they're doing that, you better just start looking at yourself and saying, I need to be holy. And I'm going to live a holy life. And yeah, if somebody's in sin, being holy, striving to live the holy life, I'll approach them. I'll talk to them about that. I'll do it like Matthew 18 says. I'll go to them and talk to them instead of talking to everybody else about how this person's unholy. This does not say make every effort to make sure everybody else is holy. It says make every effort to be holy. Us, me, individually. We've got to get a hold of that and realize that. When we have concerns about others, I think we need to do what Harold said last night, a lot more of. Instead of always talking to everybody else about everybody else's problems and your concerns about them, you know, how about spend a little time on your knees praying to God about it and leave it there and let God take care of it. And if it becomes a problem, a sin problem, an actual sin problem, then go to that person. If we want to live holy, another thing we need to do is be very aware of the areas the devil frequently attacks holiness. And I'm going to use this verse again, Hebrews 12:14, if you want to look there. He says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. I want to ask you a question. Are you living a holy life if you're not living in peace and striving to live in peace with all men? Is that holiness? It's not. This says, make every effort to live in peace with who? All men. Now, I honestly believe some Christians would rather be in a fight all the time than they would to live in peace with others. You know, we have a big enough fight against the devil, don't we? We need to fight the battle against the devil, but let's band together as Christians and let's cling tight to each other and let's try to help each other make it instead of being so quick to want to cut people off and being so quick to want to separate from people that maybe are still trying to live right. Sure, maybe they're having some struggles. But we need to help them. We need to be there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians 6, verse 1. Says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. So yes, if someone is caught in a sin, are we to try to help them? But how does it say to help them here? Restore them. It doesn't say, see how quick you can cut them off, does it? No, it says, restore them. And how does it say to do that? Gently. Try to help them. You know, sometimes it really bothers me because I see it's almost like this mentality that We want people, and we try so hard to get people converted, but then if somebody's struggling, we just want to get them out of there. Those people have a soul, right? And if they're getting caught up in a sin, we need to try to help them. And he goes on to say here, we've got to be careful and watch ourselves, or you also may be tempted. You know, I think sometimes I've thought about this verse a lot. And definitely we can be tempted in the same sin that they're in. But there's another temptation that comes when you're trying to restore someone. And that's the temptation to get proud and to think that you're elevated above that person and you're on a different level than they are and you're better than they are. And they're underneath you. We're not to be doing that. We're to be living in peace. Right after Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, what did he say in verse 9? Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker? Are you trying to make peace? Are you trying to help people that maybe have gotten caught up in something? And you know, sometimes I think we end up and we're really just like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the Sadducees. Those guys were pretty proud, weren't they? And did they hammer on everybody else? Oh, you're doing this wrong, and you're doing that wrong, and oh, that's... And I mean, they were nitpicky, weren't they? I'm not saying we shouldn't take a stand. We need to take a stand for what's right. But we also need to live in peace. We also need to unite together. And you know what? We could sit here today, and if we want to pick out any individual, I don't care who it is in this building, we could find something in their life that we could nitpick on. I guarantee it. I guarantee that. Because we're all, even though we're Christians, we're still sinners saved by the blood of Christ. And we still mess up. And we still do wrong. And we need to really work on living in peace. It is not holiness to not live in peace. It's been mentioned, the modesty issue. Tim mentioned that. Boy, is that something we need to, the devil frequently attacks holiness in? It is. And he didn't mention 1 Peter 3, but that's another good verse, 1 Peter 3:3-6. Also the sexual part of things he was talking about. And boy, do we need to be careful of that. And I was kind of thinking when he was preaching, Dad and I had a conversation here a while back, because Tim was kind of focusing on the young people, which definitely we need that. But I was thinking, Dad and I, we were watching his neighbor the other day and talking about his neighbor. And his neighbor, Dad, how old is that guy? 80? Max? Max? That lives across the street. And his wife died or passed away here a while back. Now he's got a woman friend. And she's living with him. And Dad and I were kind of chuckling about that. Dad said, just because you get old doesn't mean that part of you just dies. And so even though we might be older and we might not be the young people of the crowd anymore, even though I still consider myself in that group, but are we still, the sexual thing still something we've got to consider? Do we still have to be pure? Even if we're married, do we still have to keep our mind pure? Do we still have to be careful? We do. We've got to guard against that. And we've got to make sure we're not becoming impure. And, you know, like Tim was saying, parents, you need to check up on your kids, know what they're doing, know what's going on. And don't be naive. And also another area the devil frequently attacks holiness is in entertainment. And now you need to just ask yourself, how much time do you spend entertaining yourself with different things? TV, movies, internet, calling, text messaging people, whatever it might be that you entertain yourself with. How much time do you spend doing that? And remember what it says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. God's watching what we entertain ourselves with, isn't he? And we need to do what 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, we need to be holy and be holy in our entertainment. And so I want to conclude by saying, you know, God definitely speaks on holiness of life. We need to be holy. We've been promised everything, haven't we? We can be holy by thinking about the end. We can be holy by making every effort to do that, being aware of the areas the devil frequently attacks holiness, not living in peace with each other, the modesty issue, sexual immorality. But I'd also like to end with a verse in Revelation 22, verse 11. The last part of that verse says, "Let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy." I just want to encourage you here today. You're trying to be holy because you're here, and that's great. I'd like to encourage you to continue striving to be holy.